Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
Hi there, thank you for joining myself and Kezia today. The topic of today's podcast is going to be all around self-care for when you're feeling burnt out, which I think we're both going to have quite a few things that we can talk about from personal experience. Before we get into that, we just want to say a really big thank you to everyone who tuned in for our live launch party, which was held last week. We really enjoyed it. We really enjoyed chatting to all of you guys, answering your questions and sharing all of our tips. And if that's something that you want to, if you couldn't make it and you want to watch the recording of that, you can find that if you go to wholehealthylive.com/party. There'll be a link there for the recording.
Yeah, so and we also in that workshop we talked a lot about the foundations and the key things for creating a whole and healthy life. So if you're, I don't know, feeling a bit overwhelmed or like, oh, where do I begin? Then that would be a great kind of resource for you guys to go and check out. And also, excitingly, we are doing a live in-person day event in March.
Yes. Woo! Very, very exciting. So this is our first like day event. And we're very, very excited about it. So it's going to be in Newcastle.
Yep. In the Toon.
So obviously it is northeast, so we know that it's, you know, obviously the location wise it's not going to be great for everybody, but we do hope that there's going to be a lot of you guys who will be able to travel up and or down.
Yeah,
dare I say, up or down or across.
Yeah, and then hopefully, if all goes well, we hope to do a couple at different points in the country. And we've planned it. Me and Laura have already met and planned the layout. It's kind of like a real mini retreat. That's our real goal with it. Obviously, we're going to be running some longer retreats, but these are going to be like smaller sort of mini moments of bliss and retreating from your everyday life, just all jam-packed into one Saturday. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. There'll be yoga, good food, cake, a whole lot of good stuff.
Yes, so we're really, really excited about it. So if you want to find out a little bit more about that, you can head to our website, which is wholehealthylive.com, and find the events page, or it should be splashed up on the homepage as well, I would have thought.
Yeah,
as well. So we really hope that some of you guys can join us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And there's only, space is limited, so we're only going to have, it's not going to be huge. So if you want to come, do get in there quick.
Yes, it's going to be something really, really special. So we really hope that some of you guys can join us. Speaking of self-care.
Yeah.
and of being burnt out, this would be perfect for you if that describes you. So like I said, we wanted to really talk to you guys today about how you can identify if you're burnt out. And I think that's quite an interesting topic, because I think sometimes we don't recognise that we're burnt out when we are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And also what you can do to support yourself if you're feeling like that in terms of self-care. So, Kezia, do you want to talk a little bit about what your experience of burnout has been in the past?
Yeah. Well, I still feel like I'm slightly recovering from mild burnout. And I suppose when I think about burnout, it's kind of on two levels. You have your emotional burnout and your physical nutritional kind of depletion and burnout. Not that they're separate by any means, they impact each other. And so I think for me, when it comes to being burnt out, it's been a real blend of the two. Years ago, it was mainly a lot of emotional burnout, just because I had literally no idea how to like process and deal with any emotion that I was feeling. And so I remember a good couple of years ago of just having a bit of an emotional shutdown in terms of just not being able to, not really feeling very much, if that makes sense, like just getting a bit numb to stuff. And that was kind of when that emotional burnout happened. And then physically, like I'd probably say even in the last year, I've not had a bad burnout, but there's definitely been a lot of kind of tiredness and a lot more anxiety than what would be normal, and a bit just feeling a bit more fragile. I suppose I always Yeah, I feel like fragile is quite a good descriptive word for when I feel burnt out. It's like physically I'm fragile, so my immune system's not as robust. Physically, I'm not as, you know, don't feel strong, but also emotionally, it like literally someone could like blow and I would crumble and fall into a million pieces. So for me, it was always those two things. I often get really tired and my immune system crashes quite a lot. So things, little signs for me that I've learned over the years when I know I'm burnt out is some really practical stuff. That I just get a lot of colds or like sniffles or whatever, anything going around, I get it. If I get really badly burnt out, I'll often start getting eczema on my face. I'll just get like lovely patches, and it's only on my face, which I think is hilarious. It's like my body being like, I'm going to put this on your face so that you take note.
so you can't ignore me.
Yeah, exactly. It's always like around my like eyes. And so those are a couple of physical signs. Also, I get a lot more bloated and my digestion goes a bit off. Those are some of the physical signs. And then the more kind of emotional and other aspects of life, it's normally just, for me, it often expresses itself in a lot of anxiety. Like, you know, you're waking up in the night, or you're lying in bed wondering, I don't know, did you put your washing away? Or I remember a classic moment when I was like, Kezia, you need to change something, is when I'd folded up all the washing and then it was in a basket and I needed to put it in the drawers and there was a lot of it and I just could not, I just couldn't get my head around, that was just too big a task, if that makes sense. So I felt like I was about to have a panic attack just from putting the washing away. And, you know, I don't have tiny children, so it's literally just me and my husband's washing. It's not like I've got hundreds of things. And that was a good trigger point for me when I was like, whoa, like something is completely out of whack in my life. And how have I gotten to this stage where I'm so burnt out that putting the washing away freaks the living daylights out of me and affects my breathing? So, yeah, I feel like I've been nearly burnt out and very burnt out at many different points in my life, in different expressions. I do think different, it affects you differently at different times. Well, I've noticed that anyway. But what about you, Laura? How's it affected you?
I think it's one of those things where there's only probably been one time in my life when I know that I was properly burnt out, and that was not long after I'd had Finley, which I think is probably not a unique experience for a new mum. But I think it was when I was like on the phone crying to my best friend because I was just sleep deprived, and I was just, and this is actually after he had his operation on his heart. So if anyone's not up to speed with that, so when Finney was born premature, and then we found out that he had a heart defect which required open heart surgery, and it was quite, you know, it was life-threatening surgery, and it was very, very stressful. But it was actually after he came out, and I can remember he was really like unsettled, like quite colicky, and he wasn't breastfeeding very well. I was really, really stressed about his weight, about his weight gain that wasn't kind of happening as well. And, you know, and a lot of my self-esteem really was tied up in the fact that I was still breastfeeding him through all of that. And the idea that if he wasn't gaining weight, I would have to put him on the, possibly be encouraged to put him on the high calorie formula, which did happen, but I actually continued to breastfeed him as well. And I mean, this is no judgment. This is just the way that I was thinking at the time. And it was all of that kind of stuff combined. Just, and I can remember just kind of having like, that was like a proper, I don't know, I mean, again, like, everyone's experience is different, but that was probably the nearest I've come to having, like, a proper full breakdown. And just, like, sobbing in a heap on the floor. And James not knowing what to do. And, like, you know, it was just, it was horrible and it was awful. And that's the only time I think I've been, like, properly, fully knowing that, like, if I don't do something drastic here, like, this is going to get really serious quite quickly. And other than that, I think it's, I know, like you say, I think I've started to pick up the signs when I know that things are going south and that something needs to change. So for me, definitely my immune system is a big, like, early warning sign that something's not right. So I tend to just pick up everything that's going. This was actually kind of me, like, this time last year. I was really picking things up, picking everything up. And at the time, I was busy renovating this house, you know, working on getting this house sorted. We'd just been through the house buying process and the house selling process, which if anyone who's gone through that will know, it's really stressful.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And so those are the kind of warning signs. Another one for me is anxiety. So I haven't always identified that that's what it was until fairly recently. I kind of was able to put that label on it. But even I kind of realised that it was something that I experienced going back quite a while. And what it is I get air hunger. So I don't know that anyone's familiar with what that is. So it's basically the feeling that you can't fill your lungs up with air, no matter how deeply you breathe. So it's a feeling that you're only breathing in the top part of your chest and that you're not getting a full breath to get in. And I did some research on that, and it definitely seems to, that's like a sign of anxiety for me. Mm. When I can't take those full breaths. I mean, it can, just in case anyone's reading and that symptom is familiar with them, it can also be linked to your digestion and stomach acid levels and things like that. Yeah. But for me, it's definitely like an anxiety connected thing. So that's like one of my signs that things aren't going quite right. So I think those are kind of the main ones. I mean, sleep generally, I mean, for me the last couple of the years, sleep's been kind of a bit strange anyway with having Finley. But I think before that, and if my sleep wasn't quite right, that would have been a sign as well, if I wasn't able to get to sleep very easily, or if I was waking up a lot.
Yeah.
And definitely just generally feeling like a lack of motivation.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Do anything, and being very easily upset by things. Although some of that I've kind of figured out because I now track my cycle. I kind of know when it's a hormonal thing and that it's just part of where I am hormonally, or when it's something that's not quite right at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think tracking can be really helpful. You've definitely got me onto that more. I track my period, and then I also put reminders in my calendar now so that I just know, it's like, I'm feeling, what have I got in my calendar? I've got like, I think in February, a couple of days where it's like feeling wobbly, ? Just to like remind myself that it's like, it's okay if you're feeling wobbly. Like, this is roughly the time in your cycle when that is to be expected.
Yeah.
That is helpful.
I think that makes a big difference. I mean, I've got on my calendar, like I've got, because I use Google Calendar for things, so I've got like a color-coded, I've created like different calendars for each part of my cycle. And I've actually got a color-coded big strip that goes along the top, so I can automatically see when I'm planning things in what part of my cycle I'm going to be in. So I can kind of, because I know that if I'm, you know, just before my period and during it, I more now that my cycles have become more regular since I've had Finley and things, like I know that I'm going to have a couple of days when I just need to not be around too many people and not kind of tax myself too much, and certainly not exercise too strenuously either. So having those things in there is really, really helpful. And I suppose we're now kind of getting onto the self-care actual tips, aren't we?
Yeah, and it does make me think, I'm just writing a note being like, do a podcast on like our cycle and periods and loving, you know.
Definitely.
That's a whole series we should do. Yeah, because I think there's so much to dive into with that. So it seems like from what we've both been saying, it sounds like one of the first things is, for people listening, it's kind of that awareness and trying to connect with what your telltale symptoms are, in a way, like that whole how on earth do you identify it. And I think that sometimes just comes with a bit of time and as you say, a bit of tracking. I think that can be really, really helpful. And just a little bit of reflection. Because I think it is. It's only through time that I realise, oh, I'm getting eczema on my face. Oh, that's also when I'm stressed. And just, it's almost like doing a bit of a dot to dot of all these. Okay, when's my period? What's happening in my life? What am I eating? Mm-hmm. What am I sleeping? And just allowing those dots to join up. Because I think it does affect people differently, expresses it slightly differently. And I suppose a lot of what we're talking of is, if you can do that well, then you can kind of catch it before it gets bad. So I don't ever feel like I've completely burnt out, stuck in bed, can't get out of bed, thankfully, because I've grown in that awareness of being like, oh, I think I'm on the verge of a burnout. Okay,
yeah.
Do something.
I mean, I'm a big, something that I've started doing over the last few months is just having like a really simple journaling practice. And I mean, I've got a lovely diary that I call from Kiki K, which is really nice stationery. It's stationery.
It is lovely.
Check that out. And it's just like, it's got a page for every day of the year. And this is where I track my cycle. But I also put a few notes down just about how I'm feeling that day. But I think one of the things that's really helped me is like once a month, just asking myself like what's working, what's not working.
Yeah.
And just going through that process. And I think that's a simple like trigger to think, well, you know, oh, is something not quite right? Am I not feeling at my best? Does something need to kind of change? So like at the moment, for example, something that came up for February is that I'm still quite like I had a cold over Christmas and it's still kind of hanging around and I'm still a little bit like, sorry, it'd be a bit gross, a bit mucousy. so I'm going to try and pack in dairy basically and see if that makes a difference. Now, I know this is obviously, you might get burnt out eventually from those kind of symptoms, but just as an example for you guys, that's just one of the things that's came up that perhaps I would have just kind of ignored if I hadn't actually sat down and tuned in and said, well, what is kind of not quite right?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good practice to do. I think journaling or reflecting daily. And guys, this can just be like three sentences as well.
Oh,
I think
totally. It doesn't have to take long.
Yeah, screeds and screeds. I mean, sometimes I'm an external processor. So often I write in my journal either in the morning or in the evening. Mm-hmm. Try to do it in the morning. So sometimes it is long, but I'm trying to do it every single day. And even if it's just like a thing I'm thankful for. But I do love that. I think monthly, just going through, I did a bit of that this morning, just like reviewing what's working. And I did a similar thing in December, just because my energy was really rubbish. And then it was a similar thing in January. I decided to, from a nutritional point of view, I was like, right, okay, I'm going to remove grains from my diet because I've done that before. Mm-hmm. And then I reintroduced them last year and I thought, let's just see how it affected my energy. And after that was my focus in January, not doing anything else crazy or weird or but just as a bit of an experiment. But it was only when I tracked a bit of my eating prior to Christmas, chatted to a couple of experts about it and they were like, just give it a try. And it's really made a difference so far. But I would never, it's a similar thing. I would never have made that connection or thought that because unless you just take a tiny bit of time to like review and think. I love that question. What's not working for me and what is working for me?
And I always start with the positive because it kind of like puts you in a better mood. So because it can be so easy to let that what's not working thing like just become overwhelming. Whereas I think you've kind of just got to, when you're doing that part of when I'm doing that part of my journaling, and what I was suggesting you guys is just to be like quite matter of fact about it and just be quite like boom, 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 right, those things without kind of really getting yourself sucked into that. If perhaps there's a lot of things that aren't quite right, but I just think it's a good way to start tuning into yourself a little bit more, and it's a good way to start to pick up the things that are like might be your early warning system. And I think that's a good way to think about it. You know, what things are your early warning system? What kind of things have gone, you know, if you've been burnt out before, what kind of things were starting to go wrong before things got worse? And then I think it's when you start noticing those things happening, that's when self-care really kicks in. And I think with self-care, it really is, you know, what's going to work for you is going to be completely different to anyone else. But I mean, some of the things that help me, for example, I think in terms of self-care is sleep.
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
Amen to that.
And to be honest, I think that's going to probably be a pretty universal one, I think, for most people. If you're kind of feel that you're approaching a burnt-out state, I think sleep is definitely something to focus on in terms of self-care. I think as well, stress, and just to kind of see whether or not there's anything. And I know that sometimes there's stress in our lives, it's unavoidable, but I think it's about being honest with yourself and saying, well, you know, certainly if this is a reoccurring thing, that whether or not you need to make a bigger life change. And sometimes it can be quite overwhelming. I'm just thinking, you know, if you've got a really, really stressful job and you kind of notice that you're feeling like this continuously, even though you're trying to do some things to stop that, then sometimes I think it's a nudge for you to look at things in the bigger picture. But if not, I think some of the smaller things, you know, that you can do around stress, it's just, I mean, identify the things that are the opposite of you for stress. Again, that's, you know, I could list off loads of things, and you can try some meditation, some mindfulness, using an app like Headspace or Calm.
Yeah.
You could take yourself off and read a book if that relaxes you.
Yeah.
I know one lady, and I was so proud of her when she did this, she actually booked herself into an Airbnb for a weekend by herself.
Nice.
And I was just like, well done. That's extreme self-care.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, I was really proud of her for doing that. And but ultimately, I think it's the thing to remember is, and, you know, we're getting into kind of the broader self-care topic, but it often comes with a lot of guilt attached. But you've got to remind yourself is that if you're not doing this, the worst thing that is going to happen is that you're going to end up burnt out and not be able to help anybody else.
Yeah.
So if you have to, if you commit to taking the steps that you need to do to get your needs met, you're not going to end up in a position where you actually become more of a burden to other people in your life who you love.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it's so true. I see that. And it's something I've definitely had to work through. I would probably say I was absolutely useless at self-care until probably maybe about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when it actually started to connect that if I want to love people and look after people and serve people and be fun to be around, I actually need to look after myself, and then I can give my best to other people. And I think that's really something that I've had to allow to completely like rest in my soul and being, mm-hmm. in terms of it's like just not allowing thoughts in that are like, this is really selfish, you really should, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm actually being like, you know, me doing this, when I'm really healthy and strong, then I can really just serve better, show up better, be more present, be more helpful, but you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think I think that's a kind of vicious cycle people do get stuck in a lot of the time with when it does come to self-care. Mm-hmm. And I think with that as well, I've found with clients as well, and I'm sure you have as well, Laura, is so there's stress, and then there's also like kind of toxic people.
Oh, absolutely, yeah,
which
definitely.
I think if you're like totally, if you feel like you're at the verge of burnout, or you are in that stage when you're like, you know what, I've got nothing left to give, I'm completely depleted on every level, then again, I think it's a really good time, maybe in your journaling as well, just to think about, Who do I love to hang out with? Who lights me up and makes me feel seen and heard and laugh? Like just simple things. And then actually thinking about, okay, who maybe doesn't do that? And am I seeing them regularly? It's not necessarily you need to cut everyone out of your life, although that's not necessarily a bad thing. But sometimes it's like, you know, your parents or your whatever.
Yeah.
And it's that balance, and well, not really a balance, but making sure you're adding in more of the people that are just, or if you're a total introvert, making sure you have enough time on your own, like to recharge.
Absolutely. I think on a broader sense, that's kind of tapping into something about, and again, this is something I think people resist because it feels selfish, but actually just tapping into things that make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually like what self-care is about. And so, I was talking to someone the other day. I was doing a self-care presentation at a local networking event. And I was talking to someone afterwards, and I was saying, you know, it's kind of interesting, like my personal journey's gone from being all about the weight and being very, like, dare I say, superficial about the weight, and then kind of realising that it was a much bigger picture than just that, and it was much more about my health and my well-being and actually my happiness. And I think what I've come to realise is, you know, if I've got one job, it's to feel good. And, you know, if you say that to yourself right now, it's my job is to feel good, you might get some resistance come up, because it might be like, well, isn't that a bit self-indulgent? And, you know, isn't that a bit selfish? And all, you know, some of those kind of thoughts might come up. But honestly, it's when you look at things from that point of view, because when you're joyful, you give other people the permission to be joyful themselves.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of self-care, you know, if you are doing more things that are joyful in your life, you are kind of naturally crowding out things that are stressful. You're naturally putting, you know, more balance into your life in terms of the things that drain you. If you just do things that actually give you joy, and they don't have to be, and I think that's the essence of self-care in a way. You know, there is like the physical stuff, like, you know, sleep and, you know, meditation things. But if you just think, you know, when was the last time you really enjoyed yourself? When was the last time that you just laughed out loud and just had such a good time? And if you can't remember the last time you did that, then I think that's a big sign.
Yeah.
That you need to do something in your life.
Yeah, no, it's true. Laughing is amazing on so many levels, from like a physical exercise level to a hormonal level to, it just can help shift your mindset. Like something I have actually, is I have a bit of a history of, I was diagnosed depressed years and years ago, so it's not really an issue now, but I do sometimes need to be intentional around what I'm just dwelling on and meditating on in my head. So I actually have like a private playlist on YouTube of just all funny stuff. So when if I start to spiral down and I'm like, whoa, Kezia, when's the last time you laughed? Or you just kind of get into that pit of like, oh, the, I don't know, despair and gloom, like Eeyore, I often will just go to my YouTube channel and watch these things that I think are funny and are silly and ridiculous. But honestly, as soon as I start to laugh, or if I dance around the flat like a loony, like with a kid,
I'm big on dancing. Yeah, I love dancing.
Something so powerful about that symbolic act. No one needs to know you're doing it. I mean, my neighbours might know, but never mind. And that often really helps to just kind of like shift you from that place of... And just kind of shift your state, I suppose. That's a lot of what Tony Robbins talks about, is like, how do we change our states of being? And I think when you're really feeling burnt out, it is thinking about, okay, every day, what can I do to change from the state of being like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so whatever it is that you're feeling, like give permission to feel those things. But what one thing am I doing today to shift that? Is it watching something funny? Is it my journaling? Is it seeing someone that I like, or is it having an evening on my own? I think that is really, really key as well.
Yeah, I mean, I used to listen to, I used to watch like stand-up comedy on Netflix when Finney was little. And I just needed a laugh.
Yes, you do. I would say sometimes just in the day, just like for 5 minutes on my lunch break or something, I'm like, I just need to laugh at something. It's just
it really is quite magical how much that can be transformative as well. And I think another thing to kind of mention as well is I think sometimes like burnout can have a tinge of depression. So I think if you're feeling like that might be present, I think, you know, go and see your doctor. I would say that's like, you know, see your doctor is definitely a big form of self-care. But sometimes it's something that we can easily kind of like pass over. But it's, you know, it's always worthwhile getting that, you know, getting that looked at from that perspective, as well as doing everything that you can from a self-care side of things as well. I just think that those kind of things are just really, one of the biggest ones that's just jumped in my head is ask for help.
Yes.
Like, if you need help with something, like, don't be afraid to ask for it. And again, a lot of us are afraid to ask for help from our significant others and family and things. But, you know, if someone asked you for help, I'm sure that you would be there for them and they would want to be there for you. It just needs, sometimes it just needs a little bit of courage to just say, well, look, I'm struggling with this. I'm really going to need this kind of thing tweaked. I mean, something that I've done probably more so than other things is ask for help around childcare, because I know that if I don't, and again, you know, I've dealt with a lot of guilt around this. But for me, if I don't kind of get some time on my own or time to work on my business and things like that, then I'm just really not a very nice mum to be around, because I'm not fulfilled.
Yeah.
But when I am, then the time that I spend with Finley is really, really good quality time.
True.
And at the end of the day, he's out with core sleep, so he's in bed with us all night. So
yeah.
But so whether he's at nursery a couple of days a week, doesn't, you know, he's getting lots of affection and love and stuff. But I'm such a much more happy mom when we've got that balance there as well. And again, you know, a lot of that just came down to asking for help, just to say, you know, like to my mom, are you all right having him one day a week? I've just asked my mum if she can take Finley overnight so that James and I can have like a date night.
Nice.
You know, so things like that are important as well, because again, that kind of comes down to that connection and enjoyment element as well. So there's so many different ways that you can look at the whole topic of burnout. I mean, from a kind of a more like nutritional point of view, Kezia, have you got any tips for people? Because I know that burnout can also be connected with adrenal fatigue.
Yes. Yeah, no, I was going to mention there's a couple of things. It's worth, if you are feeling like you are completely burnt out and depleted, it is worth, if you are able to investigate it a little bit more, because there's obviously the emotional side, but there is a real biochemical reality as well, being burnt out. Sometimes for some people, it might trigger them into kind of like chronic fatigue or things like MS or these different syndromes. But a very common one is when people are at that burnt out stage, is very often is that kind of struggling with adrenal fatigue or adrenal dysfunction, which really kind of we're completely connected, in, you know, body, emotions, biochemistry. And so it really exacerbates all those issues and can really contribute to that. So adrenal dysfunction is basically when your adrenal glands, which are when your kidneys, go a little bit out of whack. And basically what there's different stages to it. And if you have it really badly, it can mean you're kind of slightly bedbound, exhausted, don't know what to do. And if you're at the early stages of it, you're often, maybe your sleep's a bit disrupted, you know, that way when you're like, I'm so exhausted, but I can't actually go to sleep. Even I'm a bit wired, but I'm so tired. Or you're waking up between 2 and 5 in the morning, kind of a bit awake when you shouldn't be. You've maybe gained a bit of extra weight. But the main thing with adrenal stuff going on with your adrenals is just the tiredness. Like, no matter how much you sleep, and you kind of normally end up relying on coffee or sugar or that kind of thing, but it can affect lots of different stuff. So that's something I've been working through probably the last year. It's just my adrenals being a bit wobbly. the unofficial term. So that is something to be aware of. I think it's really powerful when you combine a good awareness of your kind of biochemistry with all these amazing tools that we've looked at, because then it's just this beautiful fusion. And then because it's things like, if you're it's other things nutritionally, if you're maybe not getting enough protein, or maybe you're not digesting it properly, you might not be getting all the building blocks that you need to produce those happy hormones, those serotonin, that melatonin for your sleep. And sometimes it can actually be quite simple when you work backwards. You might be burnt out and feeling depressed, and it might be because your body's just not producing enough serotonin, and it's not getting enough of that neurotransmitter, which, you know, and so it's this beautiful full circle. So it is worth chatting to someone about it. Obviously chatting to your GP, they often will do like a big kind of fatigue.
Yeah, you can get a fatigue panel, don't you? I had that done quite recently, and it came back totally fine, apart from slightly low iron. But yeah, it's worth getting that checked.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Lots of women can be low in the iron. Thyroid as well is really worth making sure you get checked out, especially if you have if you have a history with anyone in your family, siblings or parental, if there's thyroid issues, it's definitely worth doing that. And going with your intuition as well. Often sometimes at the GP, they do amazing tests, but you've maybe and it comes back normal, but you just know something is off, then you can get private testing done with certain people. And I do think if you have the financial resources for that, that can be really, really great. I've just gotten a whole panel done for myself, which I'm so excited to get the results of. It's so geeky. But I'm just like, I keep on saying to Joe, my husband, I'm like, I wonder if my test results have come yet. Because it's like this big, basically like MOT that should tell me everything. And that's not everyone needs to do that, but it's just that awareness and going with your intuition, and also getting the support you need from your GP, I think is really, really helpful. And I think I've done in a blog post all about adrenal fatigue and dysfunction, what it looks like and things you can do. So I'll maybe link to that in the blog underneath. And you've done some good, you've done a whole bunch of ones on self-care, so we'll link to those.
I have,
as well.
Yeah, that'll be cool, yeah. So hopefully that's given you quite a few ideas around burnout and what you can do if you start feeling burnout. I think the main takeaway that I like you guys to have is just to get familiar with what your early warning signals are.
Yep.
And really just tune into those, and then when they start to present themselves, to really like focus in on the self-care. But I really think that monthly, you know, if you can't do it daily, that monthly kind of just almost like life MOT kind of review thing is really, really useful, because it just picks up things before they kind of like go a bit, you know, before things go really badly wrong, so that you can start making some tweaks and changes to your lifestyle that are actually really going to help. I think that's a really, really useful thing to do.
Yeah, I think so. I think just that awareness, if you take one thing from this, it is that kind of reflection. And if you are feeling like you are burnt out, you're there already, it is about asking for help from your family around you, from your GP, and just taking things a little bit deeper in terms of what's going on emotionally and what's going on physically in my life. I think that has a really big impact.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so hopefully that's been useful. And just a reminder as well, in case you didn't, you would have caught the beginning, but just another mention of our live event, which is going to be in Newcastle in March. You can find out all the details on our website at wholehealthylive.com.
Yay!
Cool. Right, we will see you again next week.
See you next week.
Bye.